So today is Palm Sunday, a day that is known as Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem as he prepared to take a part of the Passover meal, but also as he went in knowing what was coming a couple of days later. So what went wrong? Have you ever really thought about that for a second? What went wrong that on Sunday, on Palm Sunday, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and the crowds are just getting around him, and they're picking up palm branches and they're laying it. They're laying it so Jesus could walk over. So you know, giving an ovation of a king, celebrating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Only for 5 days later, the same people are yelling, "Crucify him, kill him, get rid of him." Today, my goal is to paint a picture and try to put us at that place to understand the totality of everything that's going on, to truly understand what it is, what quote unquote went wrong, that went from the triumphant entry on Sunday to Jesus being betrayed by one of his own disciples, being accused by the coalition of the Pharisees, and being crucified, being sentenced by Pilate, the governor, and crucified. So today, my goal is to just paint a picture, to hopefully get us in that place and understand what's going on. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 21. And we're going to read what's going on here and the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And so starting in verse 1 of Matthew 21, it says this: "As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead. 'Go into the village,' he told them. 'As you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there and with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them.' This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, 'Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming. He is humbled, riding on a donkey's colt.' The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat down. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of them. Others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of this procession, and the people all around them were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven.' The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. 'Who is this?' they asked, and the crowds replied, 'Is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Let's pray. Father, we praise you, Lord. We love you for just your movement, God, in this place already through praise and worship. Father, I just pray that as we go to try to God, allow your word to penetrate the depths of our hearts, Father. That God, you just anoint this time, Father, and that we will leave this place differently than we came in. We love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as I'm trying to paint this picture, I just have a couple of points for us. And the first point is, what kind of king did you expect? Have you ever realized that you know, they're excited. They're so excited about this guy Jesus coming in. They hear about him. They've heard about everything he's done. And so they had their expectations. You see, these Jews, they had been expecting a Messiah since the prophets of old, dating back thousands and thousands of years, where God started telling them a Messiah will come and free you. And so they hear about Jesus. They hear about his ministry. They hear about his miracles. And so they're excited. They're excited about Jesus coming. But the problem was their expectations. See, the Passover celebration was coming, and so they were just excited about Jesus coming. But what we have to understand is it's not in Scripture, but if you look at Roman history, it explains why Pilate was in Jerusalem. Have you ever thought of that? Why is Pilate in Jerusalem when Jesus got crucified? He's the governor of Judea. Why is he in Jerusalem? That's the capital of the Jews. What would he be doing there? See, the procession of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, as we know as Palm Sunday, wasn't the only procession that day. Pilate also came from the other side of the city in on that day. And so Pilate's procession was a lot different. Pilate's procession came in with all these centurions and you know, wearing these mighty helmets, shining with the light, you know, with this big sleeves, this sword made out of the hardest steel, you know, just the biggest spears. I mean, in Pilate's procession, he came with dominance. He came with intimidation. He came into the city of Jerusalem to basically show the Jews who's boss. See, understand, 80 years earlier, the Roman Empire captured Jerusalem. And so they had been under the bondage of Rome. And Rome kind of basically let the Jews do what they want. They thought they were pretty weird, you know, but they kind of just let them do what they wanted. And so you have these Jews who are expecting their Messiah to come and deliver them. They had been under this oppression of the Roman Empire just in 4 AD, in 4 BC, about 34 years before this happens. There was a huge rebellion of Jerusalem. Right before Jesus was born, there was a huge rebellion of Jerusalem to try to overtake the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire kills this rebellion. And so they go in and they appease the citizens, and then they crucify 2,000 people who are accused of being part of that rebellion. See, that's what the Roman Empire did. The Roman Empire showed who was boss. They flexed their muscles and they were showing how intolerant they were against anybody who tried to come against them. And so why is Pilate going into Jerusalem the week of the Passover? Because it was a custom for the governor of this time of these regions to go into these capitals of different religions to be there. Number one, and most importantly, to make sure there was no rebellion. See, because what did the Passover represent? The Passover represented. Why were they celebrating? Because the Passover represented the liberation of these very people from another empire, Egypt. Okay? And so let's put it in today's terms, all right? I don't want to lose you. So let's put it in today's terms. All of a sudden, America gets captured by a foreign power. And now we're under their rule. We're under their rule. But they kind of let us do our thing. Right? So we have to pay unfair taxes and we have all these things going on, but they kind of let us do our thing. And so July 4th comes and we celebrate July 4th. What is July 4th? July 4th is a celebration of our independence and freedom. Well, guess what? The Jews were celebrating the Passover, which was a ceremony, a festival of their liberation of freedom. But they weren't free anymore. And so Pilate comes into Jerusalem, heavy-handed, flexing his muscles, showing how mighty his power is. He comes into the city to basically tell them, don't you dare. Don't you dare come with a rebellion. Do you remember what happened 34 years ago when we crucified 2,000 of you? Don't you dare. And so he's coming in. And so the second point to understand is the contrast of kings and kingdoms. So you have these Jews, right? So we don't know what time. We don't know if Jesus came before Pilate or Pilate came before Jesus. We don't know the time of day that these processions happened. But we know how Pilate came in, and we know how Jesus came in. Pilate came from the western side of the city. Jesus came from the eastern side. Pilate came flexing his muscles. Pilate came with intimidation. Pilate came saying, "Don't you dare try to have a rebellion and uprising against the Roman Empire." Jesus came on a colt, humbly. A colt represented peace. See, it was custom that whenever a ruler of another place came, that they rode on a colt if they were coming in peace. So that's what Jesus does. And so these people who are laying these branches down, laying their coats down so Jesus could walk over, they had an expectation. See, but there was a contrast. The second point, there's a contrast between the two processions, a contrast between the two kingdoms. And the Jewish people didn't get it. They didn't get it. See, because whenever Jesus is coming in, they want the same accolades and recognition as the other side of the city got. Their expectations is finally, after all these hundreds of years of being oppressed, after hundreds of years of us hearing about this Messiah who's going to come and free us of the bondage that we've been under, finally, he's here. But there's a contrast, because what the Jews didn't get at that time was Jesus wasn't come to liberate them from the physical and political bondage that they were under. He came for the spiritual. He came for the spiritual bondage. But the Jews who are laying these palm branches down, saying, "Finally, he's here," they missed it. They missed it. See, they were following the same God that the Romans had. Because the Romans, they worshiped power and wealth. That's what they wanted. That's what they sought to satisfy and fulfill. They sought power and wealth. That's what's going to accomplish greatness. That's what's going to satisfy the hole in each one of our hearts. If we just get more power and more wealth. And that's what Pilate represented. Pilate represented power and wealth. Coming in with these centurions just maxed out in this bronze armor. And Jesus came to represent love and humility. To represent the spiritual liberation of a loving God. And so this morning, I'm going to wrap it up. This morning, I want us to understand something. Palm Sunday represents a choice. Represents a choice. And so this morning, I want to ask you, which side do you choose? Which side do you choose? Now, let's think about that for a second before we answer. We like the idea of God, right? We like the idea of heaven. We like the idea of a healing God who can heal us from our broken health. We like the idea of a loving God who can meet us where we are. We like this pretty painting. Until healing doesn't happen. Until brokenness endures. Do we still love? Do we still serve? See, the Jews on Palm Sunday who were worshiping Jesus in his triumphant entry, when they realized Jesus wasn't coming to liberate them from their political bondage, they were done. "You're not getting me what I wanted, so I'm done. Crucify him. Get rid of him. Get him off of the streets. Because he's not satisfying. He's not fulfilling my idea of what God should do." Guys, the biggest problem with American Christianity is it's so narcissistic. It's so self-serving. It's so much about what can you do for me? But this isn't an American problem. That's what was going on back then too. That's what was occurring back then. That's what happened. These Jews had an expectation of what God would do for them. They thought they'd all of a sudden, when the Messiah came, they'd be top of the food chain. They'd have all the power. They'd have all the wealth. The same thing they're idolizing of what the Romans possessed. They thought all of a sudden they would possess it. And when Jesus made it abundantly clear, that's not my goal. That's not why I'm here. They turned. Well, then we don't want you. Well, then we don't want you. And so this morning, the question is, which do you choose? Which God do you choose to serve? The God of yourself, which is what Pilate represented? The God of power, of money, of prestige, of popularity? Or the God of love? That even when things don't necessarily go our way, that even when expectations of what we believe should happen doesn't happen, well, I'm just done. Which God do we choose to serve? Because Palm Sunday represents the choice. It represents the choice. They had two processions that day. They had one from the West, representing power, wealth, intimidation, popularity. And they had one from the East, representing love and humility. Which one do you pursue each and every day? See, this has to be a true heart answer. This has to be a true heart decision. Because so often, we come to God with our plans and say, God, here's what I want. Bless them. And that's not how God works. That's what the Jews were doing. Hey, we hate this political bondage. Save us. But our prayer needs to be, Lord, what is your plan? What do you want? Guys, which will we choose this morning? Which will we choose? Which God are we pursuing? The God of ourself. See, that's why Jesus said it. He said in Luke 9:23, anyone who wants to follow me must deny himself, pick up his cross, and then he can follow me. We must come to the end of ourselves. So Palm Sunday represents that choice. So we're going to watch a video, and then I'll come back up, and we're going to have our response time. And we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. So as you're watching this video, I pray that you're in a posture of prayer, that you're in a posture of self-evaluation, and that you just allow God to truly, truly speak to your heart this morning. So on Thursday of this week, Jesus came in on Sunday. On Thursday is the celebration of the Passover meal. And Jesus came and he changed it. It's still about remembering what God did to free them of the bondage of Egypt. But now it's to remember the broken body and spilled blood that was given to a bunch of undeserving people. Even as Jesus hangs on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. So this morning, we're going to have a time of response. Scripture says, don't partake in the Lord's Supper unless your heart's in the right place. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your heart can't be in the right place. You can want it to be, but if you're not a born-again believer, it can't. So I'm going to be standing up front. And if you want to come and find out what it means to surrender your life to Christ, to become a born-again believer, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Then I want to share with you what that looks like. If you're in here and you do know Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's remember what the holiday of Easter truly is about. What Good Friday is truly about. You know, I have nothing against Easter bunnies and egg hunts and all that. That can just be a fun additive. That's fine. But it's about what we just saw. It's about the love of our God who met each and every one of us where we were. And the reality is, so often we get distracted, don't we? So often we go back to that seeking God in representing Pilate in love and prosperity. In love of money and love of power and love of popularity. And we get idols in our lives, don't we? We start pursuing satisfaction in the things of this world, in the promises of this world. And so this morning, my heart is that we just take some time, pray. And then I want to encourage you to come up. We're going to have unleavened bread up here, and we're going to have the juice. Partake it on your own time. Come up, partake it, and then go back to your seats and just be in a posture of worship or prayer. And so when you feel ready, then come forward. No rush. But we want to truly remember the sacrifice. We want to partake in this Lord's Supper to remember the sacrifice. See, different denominations do the frequency differently. Some denominations do it every week. Some do it occasionally. Scripture doesn't say which is right and which is wrong. It says when you do it. So we just know we need to do it. So this morning, we want to take this time as Palm Sunday, as we go into Passion Week, and make sure our hearts are in the right place, that we have that time of reflection and allowing God to pierce us. So let's just take a few minutes, pray. If you need to pray with me, please come. Don't be bashful. I'll be up front. But let's get our hearts right. Let's not leave this place the same way as we came in. I want to encourage you that if you needed to come forward for prayer and you didn't, or if you're just not ready to partake in the Lord's Supper, but you need a little bit more time, then please take the time. Even though we may pray and close it, you can still come and pray with one of us, one of our pastors. You can still come and partake in the Lord's Supper. My prayer is that we leave here remembering the sacrifice, and that our love, that our life, that our posture, that everything that we are as we go throughout this next week, this next month, will represent the love that was displayed, demonstrated on the cross. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come and, Lord, partake, God, in this symbolism of remembering the broken body and shed blood that was sacrificed for us to make a way in a time that we didn't have a way, that we didn't deserve. And Father, so often, so many of us who know you as our Lord and Savior, God, we go back to the bondage. We go back attempting to satisfy in our own flesh, in our own desires. God, I pray that you will change us, that you will change our hearts, that you will change our motives, that you will change our direction. God, and I pray that we will live our lives from the inside out. That, God, it won't just be a few behaviors that are modified, but it'll be your Spirit that truly transforms our heart. God, I pray for those in here who are broken, those in here who have broken families, who have broken health, who have broken finances. God, I pray for those in here who with their honest with themselves, their Christianity is narcissistic. God, I pray for those in here, Lord, who's looking for satisfaction in the world's promises. God, I pray for those in here, Lord, who need you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that even though we may depart from this building, that we don't depart from your presence. God, we pray for this offering we're about to receive. God, I pray that you will do with it what you will. We thank you for those who are being faithful in their tithes and their offerings. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name.